The deja vu of waking to only a pillow on the room's floor and a note on the table was so strong I almost hoped yesterday had been a dream, that I'd leave the Ashmore Inn and find Soraya at her tavern. But when I slid out of bed, I was still wearing the borrowed tunic, and when I pulled on my boots, they were speckled with putrid green blood. I slipped out of the room, my satchel strapped across my chest, more than ready to leave Ashmore. The Guardian wouldn't need to worry that I'd dare more escape attempts from Trio. At least for now, I wanted nothing more than to hide away in my treehouse and nurse my wounded heart and body. Shades, I hurt. Every step was agony as I descended the staircase to the inn's lobby. My muscles were sore and tender. Bruises were blooming across my skin. I was alive to suffer today. I'd swallow these pains. 17 people could not say the same.
Odessa.
Kathleen stopped me as I passed the inn's small parlor.
Good morning.
I gave her a sad smile as she pulled me in for a hug. It was nice to be hugged.
Are you all right?
She let me go. I shrugged.
You?
She shrugged too.
You're leaving today.
A statement, not a question. She walked to the chair where she'd been sitting, retrieved a book, and handed it over.
I brought you this. It's a book on Turin customs. I'll bring more when I see you again.
When will that be?
Soon. I'll be leaving Ashmore within the week. I have a goodbye to say first, though I don't want to rush it.
To the woman you came to visit? Kathleen nodded.
Yes.
I'm sorry I didn't ask about her yesterday. I'd been preoccupied with digging graves. Is she all right?
She's fine. Devastated, like most. But Tura is full of survivors. She'll endure, like you. She's strong, like you.
I don't feel strong.
Yet you are.
Kathleen's eyes softened as she brushed an errant curl off my forehead. Then she took a step backward and pressed both hands over her heart, giving me a slight bow. What does that mean? That gesture?
It means I wish you a safe journey, Princess Odessa Wolf.
Normally, I would have balked at the formal name, but there was something in her voice that gave me pause. Something serious that said I needed to get used to that title, to embrace it. Who was this woman? We'd survived the unthinkable yesterday, and I didn't even know her last name. Maybe it didn't matter. I put my hands over my heart and bowed. Boots thudded across the floor, purposeful long strides that I was beginning to recognize. The Guardian stopped at my side, his attention on Kathleen.
You're leaving.
Another statement.
Yes.
I waited for his hands to cover his heart, but instead, he pulled her in for a hug. Wait, he hugged? That seemed so sweet. Very un-Guardian-like. When he let her go, he jerked his chin for me to follow. No sweet for me.
Goodbye, Kathleen.
Farewell, Odessa.
I hoped I'd see her again soon. Life felt fragile at the moment, fleeting. With my book tucked into my satchel, I rushed to catch up to the Guardian. He and his horse waited outside. The stallion's black coat was glossy beneath the morning sun.
Hey, boy, I know.
The Guardian stroked the animal's cheek, murmuring something low. The horse leaned into his touch. It was a lovely day, clear skies and a crisp sweetness in the air. It seemed like a waste. No one here would enjoy it. Certainly not me. People walked with their heads bowed as they hurried down the streets. All happiness had been slaughtered. They should have had a warning. Protection. The Guardian's jaw clenched as he fastened his sword and its scabbard to the saddle. I hadn't meant it as an insult, but as I replayed my words, I heard it from his side of the horse. I'd just implied he'd failed these people. I didn't mean from you.
And who else would protect them?
The king, the crown. Can't Xavier step in? Send some of his rangers to these towns to help? The Guardian's eyes, hazel and angry, met mine. The glare was all I needed to realize I'd crossed a line. A reminder that this princess, this future queen, this sparrow, was to be seen and not heard. I'm only asking. I think I have that right.
Really? Who gave you that right?
My blood? The moment I signed my name on that treaty? The day Xavier claimed his bride prize? I'm here. I'm in Tura. I have the right just like any other person in this kingdom. This cannot stand. This cannot continue.
And what do you suggest, my queen? What should we do about this? What solution do you propose that Xavier, myself, and all of our rangers have not already considered?
A flood of embarrassment made me draw my shoulders up to my ears, wishing I could be like a turtle and duck my head inside a shell. I didn't have a solution. I didn't know anything about Turin politics, so I kept my mouth shut.
That's what I thought.
He turned to adjust the stirrup. I want to make a difference. I want to do what's right. I want to help. The guardian stilled, but didn't turn.
Get on the horse, Cross.
I shifted closer to the stallion, hiking up my skirts in an attempt to put my foot in the stirrup. But the animal was too tall, and I was too short. I couldn't reach. The guardian let out a frustrated growl, picked me up by the waist, and plopped me onto the saddle. Thanks. I adjusted my skirts, wishing I had another pair of pants. What about you?
What about me?
What horse will you ride?
Mine.
Oh, hell. He flicked the hems of my skirts.
Move these out of my way.
I balled them up as best I could, the fabric bunching on my lap. Then he swung into the saddle behind me, his thighs hugging my own. His chest pressed against my back as he took up the reins, his arms locking me in place. Without delay, the horse started down the street. The movement forced me deeper into the guardian's hold. The heat from his body, the scents of leather and spice and wind were inescapable. Damn, how I wished I hated that smell. This ride would be absolute torture. Maybe that was the idea.
Relax.
Relaxing meant I'd have to lean against him, sink into that broad chest, melt against his frame. Not a chance. I am relaxed.
Sure you are.
His voice was too close to my ear. A shiver rolled down my spine, and without a doubt, he felt it. Another day, he probably would have teased me for the reaction. Another day, he would have reveled in the way I squirmed. But today was not a day for jokes. Not as we passed the burial grounds outside of town. I took a long look at the tree where we'd laid Soraya to rest, then cast my gaze to the sky, to the twin moon's faint outline. Even battling the sun, they shone white, the color of Arabella's shade. I hoped that Soraya's soul, that all those from Ashmore, had come to rest with the goddess of love. There were those in Calandra who didn't worship the gods. They didn't believe in the six or their shades. They believed our bodies returned to the earth as dust, that we simply ceased. Then there were those who believed our souls were reborn, that for every life lost, another was created, that somewhere in this realm, Soraya's soul was breathing anew. Do you believe in the gods?
Why do you ask?
No man should have survived that fight yesterday. You have powers unlike anything I've ever seen. I guess I wanted to know if you believe the gods gave them to you as gifts. His laugh was menacing, a rumble from his body that vibrated against mine.
What you call gifts, I call a curse. Yes, I believe in the gods. I believe they watch us from their precious shades, and I believe they're vindictive, manipulative bastards intent on tormenting us from their thrones.
Never in my life had I heard a person speak of the gods with such hate, such malice. I wasn't sure what to say to that. It felt like we were inviting trouble, taunting them so.
Any other questions this morning, Sparrow?
I shook my head. We passed the edge of town and set out on the road that would lead us to Trio. A day. That was all I had to endure. Just one day. Except, with the tug of the reins, he steered the horse off the road. He turned us away from the forest and toward a range of mountains. Its peaks jagged and capped in white. Beneath them looked to be a river valley. We're not going to Trio, are we?
No.
Where are we going?
Elder.
Why? What about my things? What about Brielle and Jocelyn?
Will you always ask so many questions, Cross?
Yes.
Xavier.
My stomach twisted. My husband was an elder, and I was being returned to my keeper. All right. I sat tall and rigid, attempting to maintain a fraction of space between our bodies. I didn't let the sinking feeling in my chest weigh me down. This was for the best. I should be with Xavier. We needed more quiet walks, time to be alone. I wasn't certain, but I had the feeling that the Guardian wouldn't stay at the fortress. Not once I'd been locked behind its walls, no longer needing his protection. Which meant after this ride, he'd likely disappear. Good. I needed him to disappear. To go away for weeks, months, and give me time to put my head, my heart, back into place. To banish him from my mind. We argued constantly. He was a thorn in my side. The sooner he was gone, the better. The horse's hooves were the only sound as we rode across the landscape. We flowed up and down the hills that surrounded Ashmore, until the town itself was nothing but a memory. My restless night caught up to me by midday, and every few minutes, I covered a yawn.
You should rest.
It was the first thing the Guardian had spoken in hours. I'm fine. I righted my shoulders from where they'd slumped.
Sure you are.
I concentrated on the foothills in the distance, forcing my eyes open as the trees slowly grew taller and taller against their mountain backdrop. Every few moments, I'd look left, then right, searching for any monsters that might come out of hiding and attack. The pack from yesterday, is that the normal size?
No, it was larger. Usually barrow-wolves travel in packs of three or four.
Gods, that pack had been more than double. Was it their number that had made them fearless enough to strike a town? Those people in Ashmore were lucky to have had the Guardian around, to rid this area of that pack. But I had a feeling if I told him that, he'd only scoff. I might blame myself for Soraya, but he blamed himself for all 17 deaths. The hours dragged on, and the heaviness in my eyelids became impossible to fight, until the battle was futile. Until somewhere in Tura, curled against the wrong man, I drifted off to sleep.
Odessa.
The sound of my father's voice startled me from a nightmare. I'd been in the throne room, on my knees, May's knife at my neck. He'd ordered her to kill me. My punishment for returning to Rosla with no information about Alisaria. Beside me on the marble floor, blood seeping from their open throats, were Brielle and Jocelyn. I shook the mental image away, blinking clear the fog of sleep as I took in my surroundings. The early light of dawn colored the sky. I'd slept all night against the Guardian's chest. He'd stopped us atop a steep rise. He sat motionless behind me, his horse unmoving beneath. There was a cliff beside us, its jagged rocks dropping to a raging river. The water crashed as it traveled, and for a moment, I closed my eyes and just let myself listen. I pretended that noise was ocean waves, and I was on my cliffside in Roslo. Something stirred in my chest as I took in the view. A sense of wonder, peace. It might not be my special place, but there was so much beauty here, it was hard to comprehend it all. On the other side of the river was an endless forest, thick and green. It filled the space between us and the looming indigo mountains with their pristine, snow-capped peaks. The colors were so vibrant, it was like stepping into a dream.
When I was a boy, my mother brought me here for the first time. She made me sit beside her for an hour, even though all I wanted to do was chase around and hunt for berries. At the time, it felt like a punishment. Now, I see what she was trying to do. It was one of those lessons I couldn't appreciate until I got older.
He'd only mentioned his mother once before. What about his father? Did he have siblings? It was an odd feeling to know this man, yet know nothing about him. I knew his expressions, I knew the way he moved. I knew how the air charged when he was angry and the realm blurred when he was close. He was fiercely loyal to his people. He loved his kingdom. He was strong and unbreakable. But gentleness could emerge from that hard exterior. And the way he hugged Kathleen, how he acted with Evangeline, even the affection he showed his horse. But I didn't know if his mother was alive. I didn't know about his family or his education or his childhood home. I didn't know if he'd been born with these powers, these gifts, or if he'd been cursed by a spiteful god. It bothered me, more than it should, that at best, I could only consider him an acquaintance. The guardian stared into the distance, his eyes a different shade of green. This was a new color, not the vivid emerald I'd seen countless times when he was in a mood to tease me mercilessly. No, this was a deep shade of hunter, the color of Turin forests. It's beautiful, the forest, those eyes. He dropped his gaze, meeting mine. I was still cradled against him, having shifted in my sleep toward the arm he'd curled around my shoulders. I should move, sit straight, get off this horse and put some distance between us. But the truth I was terrified to admit, even to myself, was that I didn't want to move. Unless he tossed me out of this saddle, I was going nowhere. His expression was open and unguarded, utterly consuming, more magnificent than even this Turin scene. He searched my eyes the way I searched his, for answers, salvation, mercy. There was a tether between us. God save us when it snapped. Why couldn't I feel this way for the man who'd claimed me? Our mouths were too close. All it would take was a shift and we'd collide. We'd crash into each other and the shockwaves would destroy us both. I needed him to say something mean, to strike a nerve, to bruise my heart. I needed him to hurt me so thoroughly I'd never forgive him. I hate you. It should have broken the moment. It should have pissed him off. But he stared at me like I was something to behold, something to cherish, something to protect.
Yes, you do. Don't forget.
Never. There was no such thing as forgetting a man like the Guardian. Not for me. Still, once we reached Elder, I would try.
We must go.
I nodded, sitting tall. Then I took one last look beyond the cliff. Thank you for bringing me here.
You're welcome, my queen.
We didn't speak for the rest of the long journey, not even as we ate dried fruit and nuts and meat, sharing water from a canteen. The trail through the forest was thick. Rain from a recent storm clung to the branches, and whenever a limb skimmed my dress, water would soak into the material. Night was falling, and beneath the trees, it was becoming difficult to see the narrow path ahead. A howl rang out from somewhere in the woods, making me tense. The guardian didn't so much as flinch. By the time we reached the fortress, I was wet and cold. Part of me was glad to be here, to get off this horse. The other part wasn't ready for this ride to be over. Torches mounted on the fortress's walls burned bright against the dark. The walls stood as tall as the surrounding trees, rising so high that no monster could scale their face. There were hundreds and hundreds of logs, each stripped of their bark to form a smooth barricade. It stretched so far I couldn't see where either side ended in the darkness. The guardian stopped his horse outside the gates and fitted two fingers to his lips. The whistle was different from those I'd heard in Trio.
Open the gates!
The men hauled the heavy wood open, swinging like double doors for us to ride inside. As soon as we were beyond the threshold, the soldiers closed us in. The courtyard was alight with fires, burning hot in small basins. Men dressed in grizzler leather, similar to the guardian, all nodded and dipped their heads as we came to a stop. Whispers filled the air as he dismounted.
That's the guardian. He's here.
The guardian.
The guardian.
Did he not come to Elder often? The wide eyes and open stares answered my question. A young boy ran up to him, taking the horse's reins.
See that he gets plenty of water and food. He doesn't like sharing a stall with other horses.
I'll put him in his own, sir.
Good.
He clapped the boy on the shoulder, then came to my side, holding out a hand to help me down. I tried to slide out of the saddle gracefully, but after yesterday's fall and a day spent riding, my legs didn't cooperate. I crashed into his chest as I tipped off the side. He caught me at the waist and sat me down, holding me for a moment until I was steady. Then, while he unlatched his saddlebags, I smoothed down my skirts and adjusted the strap on my satchel, busying my hands as the people around us continued to stare and whisper.
Who is she?
Do you know her?
Who's that riding with the guardian?
He flung his saddlebags over a shoulder, then clamped a hand over my wrist, pulling me along as he walked out of the courtyard and toward a road that seemed to split the town inside the walls in half. Streets were organized much like Ashmore, in straight lines and orderly rows. Except there were holes down the center of every lane, holes as wide as my waist that looked to be as deep as I was tall. What are those?
For the migration. We put wooden spikes in each, crowding the streets so it's difficult for a crux to land. Once they're dug, workers will start on the spikes. They'll be buried as deep as they are tall, just like the exterior walls.
Ah, another deterrent for the monsters. Another way the Turans protected themselves. The buildings all had wooden roofs, but there were some with metal spikes that stuck up at all angles, likely other measures to protect against the crux. Golden light spilled from windows, but we moved so quickly I didn't have a chance to see inside.
You can explore tomorrow. Think you can manage to stay within the fortress's wall?
I couldn't make that promise. I didn't want to lie. So I stole Xavier's tactic and stayed quiet.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid.
We passed three side streets before we finally turned off the main road. He didn't let go of my wrist as he marched us to a wide house with a square front. It was a simple building, and like the others we'd passed, its exterior was covered with rich, russet boards. Every window was dark, the house either empty or asleep. A walkway ran the length of the second floor. The homes in Tura seemed to be built for function, not flash. The only thing extravagant about this one was the front door. Inlaid into its wooden face was a carving of a wolf, the Turan emblem. This was Xavier's house. The guardian let go of my wrist as he led me to a staircase that curved around the building's corner, leading up to the walkway. I kept my hand on the railing as we climbed, my heart inching into my throat with every stair. Was Xavier up here? Were these his quarters? Was I being delivered to my husband's bedroom? The guardian's boots thudded along the walkway's boards, the rhythm matching the beat of my pounding heart as he walked to the single door and turned the knob. I stayed outside, hand still clutched to the railing as he went inside and lit a lantern, then another. Well, if Xavier was in there, the guardian wouldn't have simply barged in. So I pried my hand off the railing and walked through the door. It looked to be a private suite. The sitting room had two brown leather chairs bracketing a fireplace. They sat atop a rug woven with bold colors, burgundy, chocolate, and pine green. The guardian was crouched beside the hearth, striking a flint box to get a fire going. Beyond the sitting area, through an open doorway, a large bed sat covered in a thick taupe quilt and plush pillows. And against the wall, lined in neat rows with the lids propped open, were my trunks. Most held my dresses. One had a glass jar of my hair dye on top. When had he sent for those?
I'm not going back to Trio, am I?
No.
The fire crackled to life and he stood, brushing his palms clean. My heart sank, missing that little treehouse already.
What about Brielle and Jocelyn?
They'll stay at the encampment for now.
Was that my punishment for Ashmore? That we'd be separated, like children who'd been caught causing trouble?
Get some rest.
He walked past me for the door.
Guardian,
I grabbed his wrist, my grip firm on the leather cuff that molded to his forearm. His hand fisted, but he didn't pull away.
What?
I don't know.
I wasn't ready to be alone. I wasn't ready for him to leave. Once he stepped out that door, I was going to have to let him go. And I wasn't ready. His free hand touched my arm in the exact place where he'd grabbed me yesterday outside the tavern, and I winced.
I'm sorry.
You didn't hurt me. Yes, it was tender today. My entire body was sore, but there were no marks, no bruises from his grip.
Maybe not.
The sadness in his green eyes cracked my heart.
But I could have.
Was that why he'd gotten drunk last night? Because he'd lost control? Because I could have been a victim of his rage? His gaze shifted to my nose like he was counting the freckles dusted across its bridge. His hand lifted to a curl at my temple, tracing the spiral with a fingertip.
You don't have to hide who you are, Cross. Not here.
Not in Tura. Not with him. The guardian opened his mouth like he was about to say something, but then he must have changed his mind. He eased out of my grip and, before I could blink, disappeared into the night. I gave myself a few moments to breathe, to close my eyes and savor the scent of him lingering in the air. It would be gone by morning. And if I had to guess, so would he. It was for the best. It was better this way. I repeated those lies over and over and over as I unpacked my trunks, as I settled into this new home, as I emptied my jar of hair dye out the bedroom window.
Shield of Sparrows is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2025 by Devney Perry, LLC. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the author. Production copyright 2025, Graphic Audio, LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and or duplication is prohibited. Written by Devney Perry. Adapted and directed by Colleen Delaney. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Airy Weaver. Performed by Stephanie Namet Parker as narrator, featuring Stephanie Namet Parker as Odessa, John Vertulo as the Guardian, Tia Shearer as Brielle, Zoleka Wundla as Tilia, Brian Kim McCormick as Xavier, Colleen Delaney as Kathleen, Christopher McLinden as King Cross, T. Siobhan Stewart as Margot, Ellen Quay as May, Gerald Hill as Banner, Tatiana Ridgway as Jocelyn, and Allie Casey as Evie, with additional performances by Andrew Mims, Rob McFadgen, Steve Winall, Matthew Bassett, Drew Kopas, Eric Messner, Lise Bruneau, Nyusha Novob, Elena Anderson, Michael John Casey, Terrence Aselford, Christopher Williams, and Christopher Walker. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers, Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Keep listening to hear sample clips from Tad Williams's The Dragonbone Chair and Stacey Marie Brown's Darkness of Light, now available in graphic audio, along with our whole catalog of exciting releases at www.graphicaudio.net.
Lucky for you, it was not your sword-wielding hand that was lost.
Lucky indeed.
Joshua measured himself a pace and a half, then turned to face Elias.
On the other hand... that was a poor choice of words, wasn't it? My apologies. Alternately, it is unlucky that we must fence with these poor wooden oars.
He waggled the practice sword.
I do so enjoy watching you use... what do you call that thin blade of yours? Nidal. It is a pity you do not have it here.
Without warning, Elias leaped forward, swinging a hard backhand toward Joshua's head. The prince caught the blow, allowing it to slide by, then thrust forward. Elias trapped the oncoming lunge and deftly turned it aside. The two brothers backed apart, circling. Joshua leveled his sword before him, his thin face slick with sweat.
Yes. It is too bad that Nigel is not with me. It is also too bad that you do not have Brightnail.
The prince made a swift downward cut and slid into another looping thrust. The king backpedaled swiftly, then counterattacked.
Brightnail? What do you mean by that? You know that it is buried with our father.
He ducked an arching backhand and pushed Joshua back.
Oh, I know. But a king's sword, just like his kingdom, should be wisely and proudly... should be wisely and carefully used by his heir.
The two wooden blades slid together, hilts locked. Elias and Joshua's faces were merely inches apart, muscles bunched beneath the brothers' shirts. For a moment, they were nearly still, the only movement a slight trembling as they strained against each other. Finally, Joshua, who could not grip his hilt with two hands as the king could, felt his blade begin to slide. With a supple shrug, he disengaged and sprang backward, lowering the blade before him again. As they faced each other across the expanse of grass, chests heaving, the bells of Green Angel Tower marked the noontide.
There you are, gentlemen.
Isgrimner stepped in, a sickly smile on his face. There had been no mistaking the naked hatred that flowed between the two.
Ember, open your eyes.
A sultry voice floated into my head and stirred me from a deep sleep. My eyes blinked open, and when I rolled over onto my side, a beautiful forest lay before me. Every leaf glistened in the sunlight, and fresh dew clung to the leaves. It was breathtaking, and I felt so warm and happy here. There was an instant emotional connection to it.
Ember, Nehushla, get up.
Pushing myself up, I turned to see Torin standing in the distance. My heart fluttered. He pivoted and walked into the forest. I knew he wanted me to follow. But no matter how quickly I ran, Torin never let me catch up. A cool breeze stirred the leaves around me, sending chills over my skin as I delved deeper into the shadows. The branches curled and twisted into bony fingers. Heavy shadows hung over me, incarcerating me within their gloom. Panic consumed me when I realized Torin had disappeared. I picked up my pace, distressed I had lost him. I pushed through some brush into a clearing and halted. Bodies were lumped in piles across the burned meadow. Ash and smoke hung heavy in the air. Blood soaked into the grass, dyeing it a rich shade of burgundy. The sight of carnage and the smell of charred flesh bore down on me, making me wretch. A stabbing pain sank into my heart. I was certain, without knowing why, I was responsible for the destruction in front of me.
Ember.
I did this. I fixed my gaze straight ahead as I spoke. Didn't I? He looked down on me, his eyes full of sadness.
Yes, you are capable of much worse. When the time comes, you must try to break free, Ember. Your life, and everyone else's, depends on it.
What do you mean? Turning his body, he pressed closer to me.
Things are about to change.
He tucked a strand of hair behind my ear.
I'm going to do everything I can to protect you. There is so much I wish I could tell you. Just know, there is a spy and a traitor around you.
A spy? Who? Instead of answering. Eventually, he pulled back.
I'm trying to show you. Don't trust them. Nothing and nobody are what they seem. Including you, my dear Ember.
He turned away, fading into the trees.
Torn, wait! Don't leave me!
His form shimmered and completely disappeared.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.